Welcome to the Hustle Versus Flow podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Thomas. And after 15 years hustling in the corporate world, I finally shifted my do more mentality into a have more identity using mindset and manifestation. Join me and my guests as we share the experiences that helped us create empowering careers, discover the potential within, and expand into our best selves in business and beyond. Are you ready to level up? Of course you are, because together we're going to conquer those fears, work through your limiting beliefs, and use mindset techniques to help you realize your worth. Hustle less, flow more, and manifest your best. This is the Hustle Versus Flow podcast.
We want to fit into society, right? We want to fit into our neighborhoods, our communities, our jobs. We want people to see and respect us for our intellectual faculties, what we're able to bring, our talents and our gifts. But we want to be able to prove that we can do all that stuff. And intuition can sometimes be a tricky thing, because when you're making decisions that just feel right to you, how do you, again, prove that this is what is supposed you're supposed to be doing, especially when it goes against the status quo or what your parents want for you or what your friends believe is right for you.
That was my guest, Hannah Kuhari, talking about how intuition can factor into all life's experiences, including your profession. Let's jump right in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hustle Versus Flow podcast. I have a very, very special guest. From Divine Sky Mystic is Hannah Kuhari. Say a big hello, Hannah.
Hello, and thanks for having me, Rachel.
Oh, I am so excited that you're here. I was just telling Hannah before we came on that my space is very peaceful. I am very just like, it is a kind of a cold, overcast day here in Kansas City. Hannah is also from the Kansas City area as well. So we are kind of in our cozy sweaters, sweatshirts, and very much feeling this just peaceful and go with the flow vibe, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm going to officially introduce Hannah, and then we're going to jump right into everything intuition. And I mean, it's a big subject, but I am excited to dive right in. Hannah is a working psychic medium, a channel, and intuitive astrologer. Her work seeks to amplify her clients' intuitive and divine consciousness through channeled guidance, energetic healing, and astrology readings and forecasting. This gets me so excited. I know that everyone who is listening right now is, ooh, okay, cool. I mean, honestly, the way in which I met Hannah was through some coaching I went through back in 2020. Hannah was a guest speaker, led a masterclass on intuition. It was a very, I would say, business-minded course. Mm-hmm. And I really want to bring your spice and your flavor on how to, you know, really tap into intuition and how you, you know, how you advise to for people to work that. Because I don't think that's something that people usually tend to think about when they think of intuition. I think a lot of people think of psychics as contacting loved ones that have passed, or, you know, maybe telling them when they're going to meet their future husband. And oftentimes it's not used as a business tool. So Hannah, can you help us? I mean, let's kind of start at the beginning. I love how you explain your intuition and the clairs and everything. We're all kind of starting out here. We mm-hmm. are, we're brand new at this. Can you kind of walk us through, you know, maybe a little bit how you discovered your own, and helping maybe how others might discover their gifts?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm excited to talk about this subject too. It's something that I am extremely passionate about, because as you were kind of alluding to, there is a lot of misconception around the concept of intuition. So for me, really understanding what that was for my life was understanding as a kid, looking back and having these experiences where I would just know things. I would have the answers to questions. I just had these gut feelings, I guess you could say. And people would ask me, or my parents would ask me, or my friends would ask me, well, how do you know that? And I'm like, I don't know. I just do. And, you know, our world, our culture, our society has shown us as children, even as we were growing up, that if you can't prove how you know something, then you're not right. Right. Yeah. There has to be a burden of proof there. And of course, in a lot of situations, in a lot of, you know, industries, that's absolutely true. It's absolutely applicable. But the realization for me was that I was getting these intuitive hits as a child, and acting and believing upon them because they felt real to me. And then, you know, events would occur in the future that would prove that I was correct. Or, you know, you go look in the book and realize, oh, she's not lying. This is actually real, what she's saying. So that's kind of, you know, the pieces or the building block of where intuition began to lead me. And I think from there, it was just making decisions that I felt like were right for me, but weren't necessarily maybe what other people would choose for me, and feeling strongly that I just know that this is what I have to do. I think where a lot of us get hung up is that we enter a phase in our life in early adulthood, maybe our late teenage years, we're heading into, you know, high school, college, university, and even after that, where we want to fit into society, right? We want to fit into our neighborhoods, our communities, our jobs. We want people to see and respect us for our intellectual faculties, what we're able to bring, our talents and our gifts. But we want to be able to prove that we can do all that stuff. And so intuition can sometimes be a tricky thing, because when you're making decisions that just feel right to you, how do you, again, prove that this is what is supposed, you're supposed to be doing, especially when it goes against the status quo or what your parents want for you or what your friends believe is right for you. Yeah. So that's where a lot of that conflict comes, I think, for us. And it's easy then to just kind of side with, oh, well, everyone else thinks this is the right choice for me, or everyone else is believing this is what I or everyone else should be doing. So I'm going to, you know, default to, you know, to the common thought here. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of strength and bravery to really stick with your intuition. Those, like I said, those unwavering, unshakable gut feelings, that you just know are right for you, especially when they really rub up against what you've been taught or been conditioned to believe. But as it plays out now with intuition and how I like to approach the subject, especially with my clients one-on-one and doing these classes, is that intuition is something that we all have access to. It is truly our natural state of being. And yes, a lot of people associate intuitive gifts or your intuitive capabilities with being also psychic, or maybe you're a medium, or maybe you're, you know, an empath or something like that. But the reality is, scientists have intuition, pilots have intuition. You can work in a field that has nothing to do with the mystical, spiritual, even religious, and you still have access to that inner voice within you. It's our inner guiding compass, or North Star, as I like to think of it. Mm-hmm. And it's really just learning to trust yourself as your own barometer for, this is right for me. This is where I need to be going. This is the decision that aligns and resonates best with my energy, with my goals, with my dreams and desires. And again, it is breaking away from making choices that are coming solely from a logical or a intellectual place, right, versus making decisions that just feel right to you. And sometimes they will go hand in hand, and sometimes they won't. And that's, I think, where people start to really struggle with, ooh, I don't know, this sounds like the right idea, this feels like the right idea to me, but on paper, I'm being shown something completely different. And again, yes, it's frustrating.
And Hannah, I wanted to, and I'm sorry, I you have just hit the nail. Like, you probably saw me like, oh my gosh, if you're watching this, you're like, what is going on with Rachel? She's clearly inspired. But I love how you brought this back to when we're in high school, when we are first taught those first moments where this feels right, but I should be doing something right else. And this is certainly not something that I think high school advisors would inspire their kids to, like, it's not something that's taught in school. It's, and so it must not be accurate. Like,
right.
I think about the amount of times that I've used my scientific calculator in life. And I think, Could someone not have swapped out like a geometry class or something like that for like something about like listening to my own like inner confidence and my own North Star? Because I feel like I just gave a speech a couple weeks ago at my high school prom, and I was like looking at these kids like, listen, you can do whatever the fuck you want. I refrain from dropping the F-bombs, but I just like, I love that you started it out with like, this is not something that is talked about. It is, it's certainly something that every profession is using, but not something that we are encouraging of our young people. And so you find a lot of uncertainty. I think it's very common for young people to, okay, well, I got to go to college. I don't know what I'm going for. So I'll just remain undecided for, you know, a certain amount of time until I find something that either gets the positive feedback from my parents or my guardians or, you know, my significant mm-hmm. other at the time, or something that like, oh, I guess I could be good at that. You know, mm-hmm. I think when you grow up and if you are good at sports or, you know, you're good at, you know, hair or makeup, people are like, oh, you should totally do this. And you find, well, maybe that's just something I like, I enjoy as a hobby. Why do I have to become a professional soccer player? You know what I mean? And
yeah,
and I certainly didn't want to interrupt, but I just wanted to like, already you're just kind of demystifying what people think about a psychic medium and intuition and thinking of it as something completely outside of themselves.
Right. Right. When it is it's our natural state of being. We're all sensitive to energy. Some of us are even more sensitive to energy. And, you know, those people might recognize themselves, like I was saying, as an empath or a highly sensitive person. But I think we've all had experiences in our life where maybe you walk into a room and you're like, ooh, energy in here feels tense. No one had to say anything. You just read the room. You picked up on that energy. You know, maybe there was an argument here. Maybe someone is mad at someone else. You can just feel this heaviness, that energy. That's not a make-believe thing. It's real. Just in the same way that you can experience someone else's joy in a very visceral way, in a very authentic way, to be so, so happy for someone else. You can feel it radiating in your bones. You know, you just pick up on that. I describe it a lot to my one-on-one clients about just to be aware of energy and their own energy and the other energy of others in regards to, you know, if you work, say, one-on-one with other people, or you work in the service capacity or coaching or whatever, even in an office setting where you're around a bunch of people and maybe you're at a neutral place in your emotional state that day, you're not overly happy, you're not feeling depressed, you're just kind of remaining neutral. You come out of a meeting, you come out of a lunch with a friend, a one-on-one, whatever it is, and you feel completely drained. Maybe this person, all they did was bitch and moan or vent or dump all their problems on you. Mm-hmm. And you leave feeling like, oh my God, I have no energy left. I feel terrible. I'm in a horrible mood. I have no reason to be, but it's just how I feel. And then suddenly it's like you're dealing with anxiety for the rest of the day that you feel like, I don't know where this came from.
Yeah.
Such a classic example of taking on energy from other people. And it's like, you're either trying to fix their problems internally without maybe even consciously realizing it, or you're truly just physically carrying the burden of their pain, their suffering, their frustration around with you. And so it becomes really important to just be aware of, number one, what is my natural frequency? What's my natural state of being? How do I feel when I'm truly upset, truly angry, truly sad? What do those feelings feel like to me and my body versus when someone else kind of dumps, projects, or, you know, hands off their own issues that then I feel like are my problem to carry or to solve. Because for my life, I just figured anxiety was something that I was going to have to deal with forever. I just kind of chalked it up to, well, I was just born an anxious person.
Yeah.
And while I'm not suggesting that there aren't people that don't have anxiety throughout their whole life. And I do, I think most people do in a spectrum of experience, mm-hmm. but to the level that I was carrying anxiety around in my life, I didn't realize until I really started into this personal journey of my own, whether you want to consider it spiritual or not, that I realized I was actually taking on other people's problems, other people's pain, other people's sadness, anger. And it was influencing my own personal energetic state. And it was clouding my judgment. I was trying to figure out, like, where did these feelings come from? How do I move through this? Mm-hmm. And it's a really heavy, awful feeling. Because then you start to question yourself. So yeah, you know, I could go on a whole tangent about this that I haven't already, but it's really important to understand. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. To acknowledge that we all have this capability of accessing energy between people, that you have the ability to read energy, whether or not you're a psychic medium or an energy worker. That's not a gift, quote unquote, that is, you know, held for the few. It is everyone's birthright to be able to access their intuition, to understand energy and to work with it. Because once you do, it is so empowering, not only for your mental health, but to feel again, like you are in control of the choices that you make from a very empowered place.
And I feel like you transitioned into that beautifully, because so much of the anxiety that I had, you know, over the course of my career, like I had been in the corporate world for 15 years, and I thought every part of my being was meant to be like that. I've never aspired to be an entrepreneur. It had never been something that felt like truly lit me up. Like, no, I don't want to be self-reliant. I want somebody else to pay my check. I want, you know what I mean? But I love how you got into this, like, taking upon other people's energy, because like I love people. I've mentioned it so many times on the podcast. I love collaborating. I love tuning into the amazing energy of people and just like creating, right? But I think what goes along with that is, like, if you are energized by people, then you can expect to be de-energized, or, you know, have that ripped out, because I would get so vested in, you know, petty gossip. I'm not afraid to say, like, I think that's one of the realizations that you come to when you start this personal journey, just like you said, spiritual or not, it's kind of this self-discovery when you realize that putting so much of my energy into gossip, being like, oh my God, this place sucks. I hate this, or I hate that, or just listening to people constantly complain about their situation and how, you know, this kind of crap always happens to me. And I've listened to Hannah talk. I've listened to her, you know, or watched her post the most inspiring things on her Instagram. It's one of those things. I think that you talked about, really tapping into the perspective and like your, I think you said, the expansive view that you have, like, on the world, and if, like, shifting certain things, and that can be like, that'll obviously be a tangent we can go off to, but it was almost like relating your intuition and just how much energy you receive or allow others to take is really that first step. Mm-hmm. Into, like, if you're someone who is like, I feel very, like, I'm a feel type of person. I can feel very easily connected to people or very easily disconnected to people. Like, mm-hmm. I'm always like, well, yeah, I'm outgoing with people I like to surround myself with. But if I'm like, I'm, it's really hard for me to turn on the, like, you know, happy-go-lucky Rachel, when I'm just like, God, your vibe is so low. I can't, like, I'm going to really struggle through this, or, you know what I mean? But, like, when I meet someone where it just feels like I was meant to, like, come in contact with you, like, I can feel it. It is almost as if, like, we've known each other our whole lives. We've mm-hmm. all met these types of people, or the friends that you don't have to talk every day and you will pick up where you left off. This is all kind of part of that, that vibration or this energy shifting. And you're kind of saying that this is like the first little muscle. Like, mm-hmm. I always kind of relate it to, you know, like doing sit-ups, like, you got abs in there somewhere. Like, you know what I mean? It's just,
yes,
it's your choice to, you know, exercise those things, or, you know, put yourself in a position where, like, okay, I could do a couple sit-ups, or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just, I love the direction that you introduce intuition, and that, relating it back to these real life circumstances where people think that they're just, this is just the way things are. They are a victim to their circumstance or the people who happen to be working in their, you know, workplace. Like, oh, this is right. out of my control. I can't control the, you know, pissing, moaning and groaning that other people, you know, do. And it's
right.
Anyway, I love that lead in. I will certainly let you continue because I love this. I love the direction of this. I just like, I'll just pounce every once in a while. I get fired.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's important to have ownership of our energy to realize that we can't control other people around us, but mm-hmm. I have control about how I choose to show up. And I think even more powerfully, I have the choice and how I want to respond. Mm-hmm. And that's different than reacting. And it's something that I also really feel passionately about getting clear about is when you react, you're coming either from an emotional trigger, you know, something is causing you to have a split second interaction in a way that maybe if you had had a pause, you wouldn't choose to project in that sense. So there's a reaction mm-hmm. and then there is a response. A response to me is something that is maybe more calculated. It's more thorough. It's more thought out. So say you do work in a really toxic work environment and that's tough, you know, or you have someone in your life that always seems to have something negative to say about other people. And it really brings you down. You can't change that person. Of course, we always want to feel like we can encourage someone to be more positive or to make better choices or whatever. But the reality is that's not our job. We have to take care of ourselves and our energy first. It's so important. And so if you have those situations in your life where you realize my energy is being drained, it's putting me in a negative mindset. I don't like feeling like this around these people. You get to choose how you respond. So maybe that is taking a pause before you react. Maybe it is considering, you know, I feel in my core, I feel within my being that I'm okay. And I'm not going to allow myself to get invested either in this gossip or, you know, this negative talk or, you know, this terrible mental attitude or whatever. I'm going to utilize a framework in my own mind and my own being that feels supportive and uplifting and realistic to me. Now, it's not bypassing. It's not just slapping, you know, smiley faces all over everything and pretending it's fucking great all the time because it's not real life.
No.
But it is important to realize that we have control over whether or not we allow someone else to shift our mood, right? This is my energy. I have the responsibility to protect it. That's not anyone else's job, just like for you, Rachel, or anyone else that's listening. And you should feel empowered to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, the same way that you would feel empowered to protect your heart from someone that you don't trust or someone that's hurt you in right. some way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is your most valuable asset. So I do want to just shift gears a little bit because you did bring up something about intuition. I think is important to chat maybe more deeply about, which is about the clairs.
Just
kind of recognize.
So
yeah. So what I teach in my classes and one-on-one with my students is again, intuition is accessible for everybody. This isn't anything that you have to be special to do. Everyone has an intuitive voice and uncovering your own can be a really fantastic and really fun process. And reality is you're probably already using some of these senses, whether or not you're conscious of it. So intuition is truly just an inner knowing. How we receive information through our energetic field, some people will refer to that as your aura, mm-hmm. how we receive information that isn't spoken necessarily, isn't taught to us, maybe that is divine guidance or from our higher selves, from God, is through our intuition. So it's that inner knowing. As I talked about when we first started this episode, I, as a child, the first clair that I really recognized was my claircognizance, which a lot of people have this. Claircognizance is clear knowing. It is an unshakable truth that you just know to be real, you know to be right, and you will have never been taught it before. You have never been exposed to it before. You just know. It's that gut feeling like, this is just what it is. Maybe it's a name of something. Maybe it's a situation. Claircognizance is a tough one because you can't prove to yourself that it's real until either the event has unfolded, or, mm-hmm. you know, you can go and find some proof that you just, what you know is fact.
Right.
So that's claircognizance. Another really common one that I think most people probably are already using in their life is clairsentience, which is clear feeling. It is a emotional response to energy. So that could be walking into a room and feeling that tension. Oh, there's an argument here. It feels heavy in this room. Something happened here. Maybe it's sadness or pain. Maybe you're having a conversation with a friend and you ask them, how are you doing? And they're like, I'm great. And you're like,
you're not.
I feel it. Uh-huh. I feel that energy from you. That's clairsentience. It's that clear feeling with someone else. You're picking up on the emotion that's being projected, whether or not it's conscious from someone else. You could also, like I said, pick up the feeling of a room, the feeling of a memory. A lot of times when I'm working with, you know, the spirit world, they will make me feel a particular emotion, either that they have in regards to maybe my client that I'm reading for or something like that. So it's like, I'll feel a big expansion in my chest. Ooh, this person, lots of love here. You know, so those are things that you can pick up on too. And again, I think a lot of people already utilize clairsentience in their life. And then there's clairaudience, which I think is one that people get quite confused about. This is clear hearing. Mm-hmm. And when people think of clear hearing, I think that their expectation is I'm going to hear disembodied voices
all
the time, right?
Yes. But God spoke to me. Always since I was like, this is so random, but my son had his first communion this past weekend. And I just like, it took me right back to that insecurity about my own religion and people talking about like, God spoke to me. He said these things. And I was like, I mean, no one's talking to me. I don't know I don't know how you're hearing this, but then, yeah. I mean, it wasn't until like you really taught me about these clairs. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Now there probably are people out there. I know that there are mediums that hear an actual voice change if they're connecting with spirits or angels or energies on the other side. But for the majority of us who are clairaudient, clairaudience is one of the clairs that I use a lot in my readings and just what I consider one of my strongest clairs. Mm-hmm. It sounds like almost as if someone is whispering something in your ear, in your own head voice. So you might hear a word that will just pop into your head. Like you'll just hear a word or a phrase. Maybe it's a song. I get that a lot when I'm working with people's guides or their deceased loved ones on the other side. Maybe there was a particular song that was important to their, you know, their loved one. Maybe it's like a song that they played at their wedding or, you know, has a particular meaning in their life. I'll hear that song. Or when I'm doing channeling, I use clairaudience a lot, which basically sounds like, again, my own head voice, but I know that I'm not actively making up these conscious thoughts. It's again, like a stream of consciousness that's coming into my mind that I recognize and I hear as if I was to speak to myself in my own mind, but I know that I'm not consciously making up those thoughts.
I'm so sorry. So when you're talking about this stream of consciousness, because I do think that sometimes it, in a world of, you know, social media and where you're typing out things a lot or giving messages. I didn't want anyone to get too lost because you mentioned channeling.
Mm-hmm.
And and I'll let you describe it because like to me, I kind of relate channeling to that stream of consciousness that you said, like I'll type things out and I'm like, I don't know why I'm typing this. Like, but I just like my fingers can't stop. I feel like something is guiding me to tell you that like that was the first time. And I can tell y'all, I've never put this out there, but I feel like I can channel now after the guidance from literally like what you taught me, Hannah, like, mm-hmm. So me just like blabbering on things that like, I don't even think I've ever used this word before, but there you go. Somebody, you know what I mean? I wanted to like, how would you describe channeling?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, I think this is something that people, they sometimes throw this word around like, oh, I'm channeling this. So to me, at least what I have been shown and how I work with my own guides mm-hmm. is that channeling is kind of getting almost into this trance-like state. And I know, again, trance is one of those words where people get all like weird about. Mm-hmm. What I mean is like, it's almost like a meditative state. If you're an artist, you might do this when you're painting, when you're creating, you get into this place where you're not, it's like your brain kind of slows down a little bit and it creates space. It creates space for something to come in. Mm-hmm. That's divine inspiration. Maybe that's giving you that, which you could also attribute to channeling, but it truly is just kind of fine tuning your mind or your frequency, your energy to this higher vibration. And it's as if all of a sudden this stream of consciousness, which is the best way that I can describe it, mm-hmm. comes in and almost kind of takes over your thought process. It doesn't feel scary. It doesn't feel like someone's taking over your body because no spirit has permission to do that. Again, you guard your own energy from human beings. You also get to hold in your own energy and protect it. You know, you don't get to allow spirit to just come in and take over. But it is a lot of times with channeling, it will be a type of a phrase or a word or a way of speaking that is not in your normal conversation or linguistical pattern.
Yes.
So I find a lot when I'm channeling with people's guides that they will use, sometimes they'll be very, very polite. They'll be very kind of formal. And then other people's guides that I channel tend to be like incredibly humorous, or they have a really good sense of humor, you know? So it's almost like a personality that's coming in. And again, I don't want to say if like you're hearing voices and that means that you have to be, you know, checked out by a mental health professional. But of course, if you feel unsure or unsafe about any of this, I'm not a medical doctor. And, you know, I have to put that disclaimer out there.
Of course.
But for the majority of us, yeah, you get into this space of focus, mm-hmm. surrender. It's like you're focusing so much on what you're doing that your mind just kind of expands to the place where you're letting something else come in. Mm-hmm. And that's where that stream of consciousness comes in, that you're inviting in. A lot of people who are writers, you know, they will channel. Anyone can do what I call automatic writing, which you can look up online as well, where you're just inviting your guidance, either from your higher self, from God, from your spirit guides, from your angels, asking them a question in your mind, and then just allowing whatever's coming through to be written down on the paper. And I think the important thing to recognize is to decipher whether this is me talking to myself or if this is truly channeled guidance or this is my intuition speaking to me, is noticing, am I judging the information that's coming forward?
Okay. Yeah.
So if you are starting to write things down and then you immediately think, this is stupid, this doesn't make sense, someone's not going to like this, this word is dumb. When you start to have these projections of judgment upon whatever it is that you are hearing, writing down, doing, that is your clear indication that the ego has entered the room. Okay. Because our ego seeks to protect us. Okay. Uh-huh. The ego gets a bad rap. And I get it. When you get into an overly egoic place or projection, it can be a problem, but our ego seeks to keep us grounded in the material world and in our human bodies. And it helps us to make those decisions as well, in relation to how we fit into society. We need that. Okay. The ego is still important, but sometimes it can be a little judgmental. So that's your indicator. If you are feeling like you have this beautiful stream of consciousness or idea, divine inspiration that's coming through to you, am I judging the information? Because then you know, no, that's my ego. Other times, or an indication that your intuition, your higher self, or the divine is speaking to you, is you'll get out whatever needs to get out. And then it's like you walk away or you set it down or you reread whatever has come out and you realize like, who wrote that? That's not something I would say. Or like, it really is quite profound to you. It teaches you something. There is an insight of wisdom that you didn't consciously create in your mind.
Uh-huh.
So that's a really good, just kind of in the moment reality check. Is this my ego or my intuition? Notice if there is judgment that is coming out, that's being projected on whatever you're creating or writing.
And how would you say, cause I mean, I love that this kind of transitioned effortlessly. And okay. So you had said that channeling would be, that falls under clairaudient or what is channeling really like? What would you, what Claire would you classify that under?
A lot of it is clear audience, but of course it can also bring in a clear cognizance, clear knowing,
right?
A clear sentience as well. Channeling can also be clairvoyance, which is the next clair that we can talk about. So channeling is its own thing. It's really a modality, if you will. Modality of how you're, but you don't have to channel to use your intuition. So, you know, back to the clair audience, just to kind of wrap that up. Maybe you're driving home from work one day and you hear in your mind, go a different way. Mm-hmm. You just hear, or you'll hear a word that will pop into your head and it causes you to make a swift decision to maybe do something outside of like your normal routine, or it's just like, it's something that sticks with you. That is a clairaudient event or situation or happening. So it really is focusing on words and ideas versus a feeling or a knowing, if that makes sense.
And that's how I love how you related that back to, you know, telling the difference between ego and intuition, because someone might ask you, someone might put you on the spot. Why are you going this way? Why? I don't know. I felt like I needed to. Something bad going to happen? I think that there's always these automatic, like, why do you feel that way? Is something that, like, not that I say like your intuition gets a bad rap, but I do think there is such a fine line between ego and intuition. I've talked about ego before, and I think you're allowed to change your viewpoint on how you embrace your ego within, knowing that like, it's not necessarily negative. As you said, the ego is really there to keep you safe. And particularly with the social norms that you have already learned, like these are things that, like, not necessarily saying you can't wear that because your mom said so. No, it was like this, I think the ego has been trained over your entire existence. Like, oh no, remember we don't touch the hot stove because the hot stove will burn our hands. Like we remember these lessons. And I don't often like to relate it back to things that are that simplistic, but I think that oftentimes people confuse the ego. They think it is something that's very negative. They think it's very, they more relate it to egotistical, like,
well,
that's brag. Yes, that's bragging, and that's wrong. But it's, you know, and I think it's hard to decipher. Like you said, if you're doing something like automatic writing, or you have these like thoughts in your head, like, oh my God, that's so dumb. Why did I just think that? Instead of just embracing like, oh, well, I must've triggered something there, 'cause my ego sure did speak up. And that's kind of the way in which I measure my own, like, what's going on here? Why am I feeling so anxious about this, like, one little statement I wrote down? It's it's almost as if you're, you know, starting to go outside your comfort zone. And that's, I think that that's something that should be almost expected, right, Hannah? That once you start to kind of tap into your intuition, it's very possible that you'll get a little, feel a little silly or push back or feel like this is in some way wrong because of what I've been taught. Even I know that a lot of religions still kind of look down upon maybe psychic mediums, and only because it's, you're going within yourself. You're holding yourself to the same level as you would, you know, God or the divine. And well, people tend to frown upon that historically, you know what I mean? And I think it's something you have to remind yourself, this is safe. I'm not using this to cause harm. I'm using this to make myself feel peaceful and make myself grow and in a way that feels, you know, aligned or really right. Like it just like, I want to listen to the guidance that feels the best to me rather than the guidance that feels good to my, you know, my significant other or my parents or the judgment of society. And so I think that I love how you transitioned that, you know, ego versus intuition beautifully, and how we can recognize it. 'Cause sometimes you hear something like, is that for real? Should I be listening to that? Or is that just my ego thought? Like, is there something that, you know, you use to, I guess, curate your clairs and think like, oh, that's just me being silly, or do you know what I mean? Or that's just me being, this is a good one, an over cautious mother. Cause there are sometimes that like things flash into my mind. I'm like, oh my God, I hope that doesn't come true. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, how do you decipher through that? How do you safely guide people who are learning, you know, to start fine tuning these clairs for themselves, I guess. Before we jump into Hannah's advice on learning more about your own clairs, I want to let you know that this action of self-discovery doesn't have to be intense or a lengthy process. Simply taking a few minutes a day to jot down things that you're grateful for before you jump right into that to-do list can be the very shift you need. It's actually one of the reasons why I wrote my book, The Mind Hustle. It's an intentional journal practice to help you achieve big results without that big time commitment. In only 5 minutes a day, you'll transform all areas of your life as I guide you through powerful manifestation and mindset techniques that will truly help you manifest your best. Check out all the Mind Hustle products linked in the show notes below. Now, back to Hannah.
Yeah, that's a great question. And honestly, it comes down to repetition, practice, like anything else. You are relearning how you are responding to the world when you choose to come from an intuitive place. But honestly, it's just really coming back to your natural state of being. Think about children, how they make decisions. They don't really spend time rationalizing things. They do things that feel good for them. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, children have, you know, they experience the world through the filter of their ego, just like adults do, but they're not spending time. And I'm talking about young children. They're not spending time worrying about what society is going to think of them if they choose to play with a fire truck in this moment, because it makes them happy.
Right.
You know, so it is noticing what lights you up, what makes you feel joyful and expansive. But coming back to how you can really understand or figure out how to use those, you know, versus feeling like maybe you're overreacting is if you are someone that feels like you have to prove things to yourself, which I will raise my hand. This is something that I struggled with when I really began this journey, was to prove myself this was real. When you have moments where your intuition really speaks to you and you're struggling with what to do, write it down. Write the situation down in a notebook, on a piece of paper, in a journal, whatever. Write down whatever the situation is. Write down what your intuition told you to do. Make your decision, you know, go with your intuition or not, you know. But I would say if you're making a choice from an intuitive place, write the situation down and the decision that you made based on your intuition, and then wait to see what happens. Are you right? Go back and take a look. Give yourself a check mark or a star or a heart or a smiley face, whatever, to tell yourself in the physical world, look, you were right. You listened to your intuition. Here's what happened. I think for a lot of us moms, we do this all the time with our kids, right? You wake up in the middle of the night, your kid has a fever, and it's like, yeah, I could put the kid back to bed and see what happens in the morning. And then there's a lot of times you're like, no, they need to go to the doctor right now. They've got an ear infection. I just know it. I have had this happen so many times to me. My husband doesn't even question anymore. If I'm like, kids need to go to the doctor, right?
Yep.
You don't have to be a psychic medium to tap into that, right? You just know there is something off with your kid. You can't prove it. You just feel it. You respond, right? You make a decision. You take them to the ER in the middle of the night, or you follow up with their doctor because you know something is off. And what happens? The doctor's like, oh yeah, raging ear infection. Let's get some antibiotics for that. Mm-hmm. Write it down. Prove to yourself. Start a list of these little moments, big or little moments. Maybe like, coming back to, you have your normal routine driving home, right? Mm-hmm. Something tells you to take the a different route this time. Yeah. For whatever reason, you hear a word, a phrase, whatever, you just get this feeling, oh, I should go a different way today. You realize later once you get home that you avoided a terrible accident or traffic was super, super bad and you had no idea, but you just made that quick decision in the moment based on an intuitive knowing or hit. Write it down. So the more you can kind of look back and see, gosh, I've made all of these decisions in the last 2 weeks based on my intuition and they've been right. That's your proof. That's how I started, even with doing, you know, psychic mediumship readings, as I was so fearful of trusting what was coming to me.
Yes, yes.
And whether or not this was going to resonate with my client. And actually, Rachel, your reading that I had done for you, if I can bring that up, is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. So I had done a reading for Rachel, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, 8 months ago.
In August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Last summer. Mm-hmm. And Rachel came to me for an intuitive guidance reading. This is kind of my regular offering. I call it sacred guidance, and I work with your spirit team, your guides and your angels. And it's basically just to address and bring clarity and guidance and wisdom to a particular area of your life, whether that's relationships or work or business, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's not with the intention of connecting with people's deceased loved ones. So it wasn't a mediumship reading. And I was going into meditation and bringing Rachel's questions in to meditation. And I just felt this shift of energy. I knew it was a deceased relative versus a spirit guide. I've had enough experience at this point where I can kind of decipher the difference. And your grandmother just started giving me all this information. And it was like, okay, well, do I bring this into Rachel's reading and let her know? Because she didn't ask for this, for one. And I will say that I am a believer in the level of ethics when it comes to any kind of spiritual work, that I don't go around the grocery store just giving people readings and telling them, you know, their dead family members are hanging out with them. I think there's
which I've always wondered, by the way, I'm like, yeah, I should totally read this guy, but I'm not going to.
I don't, because they're not asking for it. Not everyone's open to it. And you also don't know what kind of harm that's going to bring forward.
Yep, exactly.
But my intuition told me that it was safe to bring this forward within mm-hmm. your reading. And of course, you know, gave you all this information about what I perceive to be a grandmother energy. And I will never forget this reading, because I specifically remember her showing me her painted fingernails. Mm-hmm. That was very important to her, and her glasses. Mm-hmm. And then, and she showed me that memory, how I perceived this little girl with blonde pigtails, with a hand mixer, right? This memory, this flash that she gave me, I would have had zero context of knowing what that was about. And I was like, I don't know if I should say anything, because this makes zero sense to me. This is so random. Am I just making this up? And then of course, Rachel, you can tell me, or you can tell them what the situation was, but it's one of those examples, I think, whether or not you're a psychic medium, where things will come to you and you're like, do I act on this or not?
It's so random, this detail. And it's just like, Hannah's so right. Like I think that I could have easily come to her with this, like, hey, I really want to, you know, speak with my granny, because she had passed a year and a half earlier. Mm-hmm. But it's and anyone who knows my granny, she was like always, you know, kind of impeccably dressed, but she always had her nails painted. I mm-hmm. mean, always. And it was funny because at first when she said, like, I have this vision of you cooking together, and it's funny because like I make a joke that I'm like an awful cook, and I'm like, hey, I mean, I do. I remember like, you know, baking with her occasionally. And then like, I was like, oh my God, I found this picture of like, she'd given me this. It was a play mixer. It's so crazy. And I was like, oh my God, I think this is what you saw. And it was this moment at like during the holidays. And I remember like my grandmother just kind of like looking at me with this like little play mixer. And it's funny because like, it's not something that I like posted a lot on, you know, there's no possible way that Hannah would have known about this picture, but it's only funny because like in the family, I always like reference this photo. It's like, oh, this is as far as my cooking skills ever got. Like, you know what I mean? It was that kind of level of comfort, brought into, you know, the reading. And I'm so glad that you brought it up, because that one reading was so impactful on my life. There are details from, you know, I have continued to take with me. Like there were things that, and as you go on your own spiritual journey, there are things that you'll just kind of wonder about. Like, Hannah, you probably know, like I came with some very like specific questions. Like, I need to know, like, I had this feeling that the baby that I had lost, I had a miscarriage several years ago. Like, I feel him with me. I feel like I, at the time, I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. We never named the baby, but something random came to me like Anthony. And I will never forget it. Like I will likely burst into tears at any second. So just FYI, but it was one of those things that I remember Hannah saying, this name Anthony is something that he chose for himself. And I was like, it has to be, there's no way I would, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care for the name Anthony. It's just like literally something I have never even pondered naming one of my children. You know what I mean? And so it's like, sometimes we get these little like, why would this name pop in my head? Why would that?
Right.
And it's funny because as you become more curious, I think that's just the buzzword. If you're curious, like you're, as you've kind of mentioned before, and I really want to talk about it, because this is one of my favorite topics that I feel like people tend to kind of like, wait, huh, hold on, spirit guides.
Yeah.
But like my team, my spirit guides, it's almost like texting your best friend to be like, holy shit, wish me luck, I'm about to go into a big interview. Like I'm like, hey y'all, can you just like make sure I don't flub up, or can we just like, you know what I mean? It's I think that once you are open to it, it's just like asking guidance from the Lord, you know, like God praying. It is just a form of prayer. And I think that once people are given the permission to like tap into that, like certainly we all, you know, it's acceptable, socially acceptable to talk about guardian angels. Oh, my grandmother is watching over me. And like my granny was a devout Catholic. So I feel like for my granny to come in and be like, hi, I'd be like, high five, granny. You know what's up. Like, we're doing anything wrong over here. We're good.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I think that it's so freaking important to demystify that judgment and that, like, think of, like, if you think about the most peaceful that you've ever been and being able to experience that and being able to, like, hey, granny, I'm feeling a little sad today. Can you, like, I never really thought about asking my grandmother for signs or anything. It's always been something that's completely separate. Like, granny's on this side of heaven and my guides are over here, and they're just kind of, you know what I mean, they're not at the same realm. And my mom was going into a surgery, and I was like, all right, granny, we're gonna need some heavy hitting today. I'm gonna need you to watch over this surgeon, because he kind of was rubbing me the wrong way. Like, I don't know, it was like one of those things, like, can you just send me like an angel or something, like to help me realize that everything is okay. And it's so kind of like off topic, but it was one of those things. I was like, I feel like we're at a point, like you came into my reading a couple months ago. Clearly I know you're listening. Clearly I know, like, can you show me an angel? Which was like, that was her favorite little moniker. Like, she had angel earrings, angel, like, necklaces and everything. And here I am, I think it's not Christmas time, but I'm like looking for like, where the hell is this angel at? Like, come on.
Show it to me.
Exactly. And I kind of like wanted to wait to tell my mom, because I was like, I don't want to, you know, scare her, and she's freaked out. Like, I'm not seeing a sign. And I was just sitting in the waiting room, and they had like, you know, daytime soaps on. And there it was, like on the TV screen, a beautiful mantle and like an angel on the mantle. And I was like, of course you would show me in a freaking soap opera. You know what I mean? I think that that's how it starts, right? When we allow, when we become curious, and when we kind of say, what would happen if I just asked, you know what I mean? What would just, like, how can I start communicating? And so, like, I know that was a long-winded way to ask you to introduce, like, but what to you, what do you consider spiritual teams? Are they angels? Are they past loved ones? All of the above. Mm-hmm. Like, who do you, when you're helping someone who is curious, kind of bridge that gap of, okay, can you know, explain this to me? Who am I speaking with? Who's offering me this advice? Some random person that I've, you know, never connected with? How do you explain that to people when you're about to do a reading for them?
Great question. And this is something that people are very curious about and have a lot of questions on. So in my experience, sacred teams or your spirit teams are a mix of what we know or we call spirit guides. Now, these spirit guides are, they are beings, light beings on the other side. They are spirits on the other side that have had human lives at some point, but you will have not known them in this lifetime. So perhaps you will have had a past life with them, but that's not always necessarily the case. Mm-hmm. But they've known you since your birth, your incarnation, and they are with you through the length of your life. So they really are like your ride or die in the spirit world. They assist you with everything and anything. And their mission is to help you fulfill your purpose and to have the life that you signed up for, to learn your lessons. Now, there are guides that also will come in and assist you with various chapters of your life. So, you know, for a lot of times for you, so you enter motherhood, you know, you have a child or a fatherhood. You might have a guide that's assisting you with that role in your life, or if a particular cycle is going on in your life, with a relationship, you might have a guide that's assisting you with that. You might have a guide that's assisting you with your spiritual or religious journey. Mm-hmm. So there's also guides that are kind of assigned to particular timelines or chapters or lessons that we're learning at a soul level. And then once those cycles are complete or that lesson has been learned, those guides may leave us and another one will come in. So that's spirit guides. Now you can have loved ones, so like your grandmother, mm-hmm. That also serve to help guide and nurture and support you from the spirit realm, but that her mission on the other side is not like a spirit guide, if that makes sense.
Right.
So, and I see this a lot. My own maternal grandmother works with me quite frequently in the sense that she helps to bring spirits to me when I'm doing readings. And she shows up in a lot of readings that I have with other healers where she will help to facilitate kind of this exchange of energy, but she's not necessarily my spirit guide. But then we do have personal angels. Everybody has at least one guardian angel. Most people that I read for or come in contact with have two, I would say on average. Some people have three. A lot of people that are healers or doctors or work in any kind of giving or healing capacity will have four, maybe five or six is the most that I've ever seen. So a lot of times I can tell if someone is like maybe a doctor or a surgeon, or they work in some kind of medical team because they have additional guardian angels with them. And these angels have been with us before we were born. So when we were still in that kind of in-between spirit world, and they actually are with us and help us. I'm getting goosebumps as I say this. They help us with our transition into after we die. Uh-huh. So when we pass, they stay with us and they are with us to connect us with our loved ones on the other side. And they stay with us back in the spirit world. So they also know us better than anyone else. Then of course we have archangels that everyone has access to. So I work a lot with the archangels in my own work. And gosh, I was even thinking last night, my four-year-old kept waking up because she was, you know, saying there was monsters in her room.
Four-year-old, standard four-year-old behavior, right?
Right, awesome. You know, having bad dreams. And so I just silently asked Archangel Michael, who is the protector of the archangels, to just stay with her in her room and to just help facilitate peace and calmness so she can mm-hmm. sleep. And of course, you know, if you come from a religious background, angels and archangels might not seem all of that woo-woo to you, right? Mm-hmm. This is mm-hmm. kind of normal speak. Uh-huh. And then there are what I call ascended masters that also will work with us individually. And these people can be, or these ascended masters are people like Jesus, people like Mary Magdalene, Jesus's mother, Mary, Serapis Bay, Kuan Yin, all these different, I guess you could consider them deities, but they're souls that have had human life mm-hmm. that have reached at some point a form of enlightenment and now help the collective. They help us from a human standpoint with different lessons or chapters in our life mm-hmm. as well.
Now, Hannah, correct me if I'm wrong, but like when you give projections, when you were growing up and you had these projections, you like, I feel like this might happen. And then it happened. Like, how do you decipher for that? Because I won't I'll never forget like you being like, yeah, it's about 18 months. Things are going to shift. This part is going to leave and this part is going to enter. And it's so funny because I think, you get really excited and you start counting down the days. And I was like, oh my gosh, oh, that would like totally, work out. But it's like the deciphering, like you have free will as well. Mm-hmm. So if you do nothing, like I can't help you. Like if you go along this path that you're going, this spiritual enlightenment, if I can call it that, like it seems like you're going to take some actions that are going to lead you to a certain path. Now, if you continue to shut off your intuition and only listen to your ego and only listen to what people are saying, like that's kind of your disclaimer, right? Like, this is what I see for you if you want. Like, and what is that disclaimer that you give to people? How do you give people that like projection and help them make it a reality? Does that make sense, I guess?
Yeah. Yep. That's a great question. So something that Spirit has told me since I started doing this, and something that you will hear my little soapbox if you get a reading with me in my recording. Before we even dive into everything, I go through the ethical pieces because it's very, very important to me. I take this work with incredible honor and a sense of reverence that it is sacred. And this is people's real intimate lives. And it's truly an honor for me to be even invited in to do this work. But here's the reality is, as human beings, we have free will. So even though our guides will encourage or try to guide us to make the decisions that will bring us to our highest and greatest good, the reality is people make mistakes all the time. And sometimes we have to make those mistakes. But we get to choose how we want to show up in our life. We get to choose whether we take this job. We get to choose whether or not we want to marry this person. So in that respect, we are what I always refer to as the captains of our own ship, right? We are our own guiding force in our life. That being said, from a larger perspective, and this is what Spirit shows me, is they kind of show me multiple timelines. And of course, in the spirit world, and this gets into like really metaphysical woo-woo stuff. And I'm
into it, but I love that that's what we can talk to, this safe space of like, listen, if you want to go woo-woo, I will take you to woo-woo world.
But I will take you there.
But it's just like, I think that's why I kind of like even started conversations in this platform, because I was like, there is always the option to turn me off.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not going to talk at you in person. If I see you on the street, I'm not going to say, have you spoken with your spirit guides today?
Right. Yeah.
Just like you wouldn't read someone in the grocery store.
Right.
Like people have to invite that in. So I have to assume if you're pushing play,
you're listening for the will.
Exactly. Yes.
So what Spirit shows me is that then from an expanded perspective, first of all, in the spirit realm, after Earth, our 3D construct here, right? Time and space are not constricted. Everything is happening right now. So time is not linear on the other side. So in that same regard of what I'm being shown with say your life, Rachel, if they show me something, it's like, okay, there's kind of multiple timelines of possibilities, right? Of decisions that you might make that will lead you to this point. And there is kind of a level of probability that comes down to this is the path that is probably most likely for her. And that is what they show me. So that's what I base that I don't like to use the word necessarily premonition, but that's the guidance that will, if they were give me a timeline.
Yeah.
Now, I always tell people that this is not set in stone. No one's destiny is set in stone. When we sign up to come to Earth, right? When we decide from a soul's level that we want to be here, we want to live here, there are certain things that our souls are seeking to accomplish in this lifetime, whether you call that your purpose, your mission. But there are lessons that we want to learn from a soul level. And in that way, it's like our souls kind of know where we need to go. And that's where that intuition guides us. That's our higher self, our inner voice, our soul. It's kind of leading us on that most likely path that is going to be best for us. But sometimes, you know, ego gets in the way, things happen, we make decisions and it kind of reroutes us, but nothing is set in stone. It's not to say that Rachel, in 5 years, all of this stuff is going to happen for you. And this is your one fulfilled destiny. And if you don't get there by this path, then, you know,
you fucked it up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. You got to start over. Yeah, exactly. So, it's knowing that there is a probable path. There is a likely timeline, but it is not set in stone. Mm-hmm. And the destiny, if you will, your fate is not in a blueprint that you have to abide by in terms of like a linear box, you know, that you have to check. Right. So yeah, it's just a feeling. Sometimes I'll see a number, sometimes they will, and we didn't even talk about clairvoyance. My gosh, we've been talking about all this stuff, but
you know, it's squirrel. So
I know.
Totally me.
I see a lot during my readings with clients. So I will see visuals that may kind of direct me towards a timeline of what maybe to expect within a certain parameter. And, but yeah, I always try to phrase that I don't have control over that information. At the end of the day, you are the one that makes your decisions. And so if it doesn't work out within that timeline, it's quite possible that you made a choice that shifted that timeline, or someone else around you made a decision that has then shifted the environment or the timeline around you, or the collective, like things happen. So I think, at least to me, it brings me a sense of comfort to know that we are each guided in some way, in some mm-hmm. higher way. Mm-hmm. And I kind of chuckle because even the skeptics, even the atheists, even the people that think all of this stuff isn't real, they all have spirit guides. Mm-hmm. They all have angels that are helping them, you know, and they have their own purpose in this lifetime. Maybe it is to be a skeptic. Maybe it is to do something else. Spirituality isn't part of their lessons and learning. And that's kind of where, at least I find peace of understanding that not everyone's going to resonate with what I'm doing. Not everyone's mm-hmm. going to resonate with what I have to say. And that's okay, because they're on their own timeline. But yeah, we all have this guidance, and it is comfort to me to know that I still get to choose how I want to show up in my life. I get to still choose what I want to do, when I want to do it, and to take ownership mm-hmm. of my life. Is that what I am constructing in my life is based on my own responsibility, my own input, my own hard work, my own pain and lessons, and that it's not because I'm following like a robot, some kind of, you know, path to destiny where I don't yes. get a say in the matter.
Exactly. And I think yeah. that, you kind of mentioned like, oh, I get to choose what I do with this information. I get to choose how I interpret it and the action, you know, that I take going forward. And I think that it's this, you know, sometimes I often get stopped up because I think, well, just because I'm spiritual or I'm aligned, or I feel at peace when I'm experienced the guidance of my, you know, my team, that means that is my calling, that I need to go out and spread that word. I think that this is kind of the platform that I like using, because it's more of a discussion, and it's more of a demystifying this for, I kind of like to say for everyone, not necessarily those who feel called to that, you know, the spiritual entrepreneur, because like, you know, I feel like there are more than a few ways that I can impact people or make an impact. And I think that's what's mm-hmm. most important about like even this whole season two of the podcast. It's like, I don't want you to think that I'm trying to turn everyone into a spiritual entrepreneur. Like, I need you to get inspired and go from that feeling of peace and inspiration and create new innovative ideas in your own industry. Like, I'm not saying that you have to become an entrepreneur. I created amazing things for myself in a career as an apparel designer. You know what I mean? I got to work with awesome people on amazing projects that bring me so much joy. But I think that there's this misconception like, well, I can't be happy unless I create a business for myself. Like, and just knowing that that's not everyone's path. Not everybody totally. Is begging to get out of the 9-to-5, right?
Right, right.
Like, I think that that is a misconception of like this spiritual world that we're all here to become millionaires and, you know, whatever, lead a movement. But I'm really just like, no, I just want, like, I feel like selfish for knowing about this. And like people, more than a lot of people, like, oh my gosh, things just always seem to go your way. Things just seem to land in your lap. And I was like, it's not by accident. Like, I think I have, like, not to be like, I have the power, but like, there's like this, I don't know. Like, I feel like I have a way of meeting the right people at the right time. And when you're open to that message, like kind of coming back to that, how you're viewing the expansive world, like, I wholeheartedly think that like, even the most craptastic people were put in my life so I could be like, that is not who you want to work with.
Right. Thanks for pointing that out. And I completely agree that everyone's path is unique to themselves. Some people work best in groups. Some people need structure. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets to determine what success means in their life and whether that is making $1 million or if it's making a margin of that and living very humbly and simply, that's great. It's all about what you need to feel fulfilled in your life. So yeah, I totally resonate with that. Okay. So clairvoyance, kind of circling back to the clairs here. I apologize for people listening to this because if you ever take a class with me, I promise it is a lot more, structured, but yes, I think it is. I love weaving in like the personal aspects and the examples and stories, because I think it makes it more real when people are trying to understand or get their minds around what these concepts are. So clairvoyance is clear seeing. And this is another one similar to clairaudience, where I think people have a misconception about what that means. I think they think that they might see a manifestation of like their spirit guides in front of them in their physical form, mm-hmm. right? Or they're going to be seeing something very clearly down to an exact detail of what's going to happen in the future. Now there are people that see manifestations of deceased people and guides and angels, and it's super cool. But the majority of us see things in our, what we call our mind's eye. So for those of you listening, and for you, Rachel, to kind of experience what that's like, is that if you can visualize something in your mind, and you can hold that image in your mind, maybe it's an apple, just visualizing an apple in your mind, the color of it, the shape of it, where does that image kind of land for you? It's probably somewhere right in your, if you were to close your eyes, it's like in that forehead area or in front of or behind your eyes where you can visualize it. There are some people that have a very difficult time doing this, but majority of us do it all the time, right? We imagine things, we visualize things without even having seen them. But clairvoyance is, it could be seeing symbols. It could be seeing numbers. It could be seeing pictures, or like I described with your granny, seeing a memory or even like a clip of what seems like maybe a movie reel, maybe of something that's either happened in the past or the future that just kind of flashes in front of your eyes or in your mind's eye. I get this a lot when I will be traveling. If I'm in a historical place, a lot of times I will get kind of a almost like a movie clip of something that's happened in the past. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I will get a flash of people's past lives. I will see what they were maybe doing in a past life. So that's clairvoyance, but it also could be seeing something that hasn't happened yet. You know, maybe that comes through dreams. So if you are a visual dreamer, that is also clairvoyance. It is a visual that is not necessarily in front of you, but you are still able to perceive and see that information. And that can relate, like I said, in a lot of different ways. It can be symbols. It could be words. You could actually see the word instead of hearing it. It could be seeing light. It could be seeing colors. A lot of times when I'm connecting to people's spirit guides, the first thing I feel, of course, is their presence. But then I normally will see a color or some colors that are associated with the frequency of their energy or like their aura. Uh-huh. So it could be seeing colors. It could be seeing, some people are able to kind of see into the body. There are some psychics and mediums that can actually see things within the body, and they can kind of pinpoint like if there's something going on there. So there's a lot of ways that we can use these visual cues that can help us. again, if you're like out walking someplace, say, and all of a sudden your vision is kind of drawn to a particular area, and it's like, then you happen to notice something like a butterfly or a bird or whatever, you know, that's also connected to your clairvoyance, because it uses your visual cues to give you information.
Which I feel like we could go on for hours on how this relates to looking for signs or looking for, it's all kind of intertwining. And I feel bad that we didn't even get into the astrology side of it, because right before we hopped on, we were kind of talking about how the more you learn about things can identify your own personal framework. So like, right, we're all not meant to understand things the same way. We're all not meant to be motivated in the same way. Like, right, I've just kind of dipped my toe a little bit in astrology. Like, I love to describe like my daughter, like the only way that I can think is like, well, she's a Scorpio. I don't know how to describe her. She's just, you know what I mean? It's just, yeah. Like, I think we have all kind of come up with these very humorous ways and how each of us depicts our surroundings. And it's fun because like Hannah takes it to this whole different level. Like, I feel like you have these different stages or phases of someone on their spiritual path, one for like the beginner, which is kind of where I started. Like, hey, can you just tell me what my guides are? I think I know who they are, but you have been able to really like sometimes identify guides for people when they maybe thought they heard something, or like, hey, maybe you've been having an experience that might be a guide that's, you know, trying to, you know, connect with you. So a phase from the beginner level to helping you, like once you've really like, I don't want to say drink the Kool-Aid, that's such a negative connotation, but like when you've become sufficiently curious, yes, like then you have that step to really help people identify their own and develop their own intuition. Mm-hmm. And then you have like, I think it's more of the advanced course to like astrology, but really like tapping into like your sign. So like your astrological sign, but like houses and how to depict like full moons or new moons or the shifts in the energy. And really, like, you don't just teach people to like know how to talk the astrology talk. You're teaching people to actually embrace these seasons, these phases of time into their own business, to sometimes help explain why, like, why am I in such a crabby mood all of a sudden? And it's like, I love reading, like you all have to follow, and we'll put all of Hannah's information down below, but do yourself a favor right now while you're listening, go get on Instagram and follow at Design Sky Mystic, because really the messages that Hannah puts out around, you know, a full moon or really like when things are shifting are so insightful. And I think that there is, you're always available for questions and like, hey, what does this mean? And yeah, I think that's how you have been intuitively guided to your own career and how that is expanded, you know, with your knowledge, like things that you really, truly enjoy talking about. You're just kind of taking that guidance and like, hey, would you all be interested in these like astro classes, like these? And we'll just kind of plug this real quick, because this idea, like if you know your sign and you want to tap into it more and you really want to deep dive, but from a, you know, you're basically handholding, like, let me show you, like, if you don't know about your house or your sun or your moon rising, I probably butchered that, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This is your chance to help people walk through that and kind of understand what's going on from another level. Like, just like you're, as a woman, you go through, you know, your cycle. Okay, well, this time of the month, I am definitely pissy. And I there are signs to tell me why. And I think that there are, you know, astrologers that existed thousands and thousands of years ago that were as well respected as more respected as the people that we listen to every day on the news to 100% get our guidance from, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to clarify that I don't think astrology means that you are at the advanced stage of your spiritual journey. I mean, I work a lot with clients who are really, maybe they're just interested in astrology and they have they're less into the spirit guide stuff, and that's okay. Yeah. It's a really, I think of astrology as just a different language. It's a different way of understanding energy, and ourselves. And I actually work a lot with people utilizing astrology to help them with their business. So understanding these astrological cycles in relation to energy and how that can help them with business launches, right? Good days to launch. Here's the days you're really going to want to launch, or these are really good days for, you know, marketing, or these are the times that you're going to want to take some rest and reflection and to disconnect and to do your creative work or your brainstorming. So it can be really practical and really, really kind of mundane in that sense. It's not even all that woo-woo if you think about it. I mean, like you were saying, you know, as women, we are very much tied to the moon and our cycles and the length. There's no mysticism really about that. The fact that we are made of water means that we are also affected by the tides and the moon's pull. That's just science, honestly. Mm-hmm. And astrology is not a science. I mean, I have to make that super clear, but it is very interesting to work with the business world where things tend to be very analytical, very logical, and also then using this beautiful tool of astrology that, like you were saying, has been used for thousands of years and has been very well respected. And there's actually a saying in the astrological community that millionaires don't use astrology, billionaires do. Uh-huh. Because they are the ones that really like look at this from a big perspective in terms of like manifesting and utilizing that energy that is so specific to them and their own chart and also the collective chart. So little side story, my husband is a pilot and he works in very like regimented job. He's in the military. I would say he's open-minded, but he's also not woo-woo by any stretch of the mind. Right, he's very supportive of me and what I do, and he appreciates that. But, you know, he doesn't get into the spirit guide stuff, and that's cool. That's totally fine with me. But recently we've gotten into cryptocurrency. So like Bitcoin and Dogecoin and SafeMoon and all this kind of stuff. Uh-huh. And I started looking at the growth and the dips between these cryptocurrencies and also the lunar cycles. And I was like, there's a correlation here that's worth investigating.
Oh my God.
So now I've started to do some projections and just kind of looking at where the lunar cycles are in terms of the full and the new moon and how that is represented in both the growth and the falls of both the stock market and the cryptocurrencies. And it is rather convincing, even for my military pilot husband. So it's really fun. You can have a lot of fun with it, as well as being practical, like I said, with your business launches, or even just like, I want to understand myself better. Like, why do I think like this? Why do I have a difficult time with relationships? Or how can I understand my partner better? I mean, honestly, in my own life, astrology has given me such a depth of understanding of even my own spouse and how our communication and our emotional responses are so different. So yeah, it's really, it's whole separate thing, and it's really fun. And you just talked about the astro classes, which, I could just chat about for a second, is something that I'm going to be offering monthly. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have any experience with astrology to start with me. These are live classes that are held on Zoom in a group setting. And if you aren't available to join live, then you will still get the replay, the download, so you can work through all of the information at your own time. But our first class is really going to be just understanding, what is the natal chart? What do these planets represent? What do these houses represent? And then, so you have a good understanding of how that can be practically applied to your life. So if you hear about, oh, there's a full moon in Sagittarius coming up, how does that reflect in my own chart? How is that energy going to be affecting me in a particular area of my life? And I plan to do classes in the future about relationship and compatibility and, you know, our karmic destiny based on our lunar nodes and lots of fun topics. I think it'll be really, really, really fun. And of course, my aim with anything that I teach, whether it is intuition or astrology or spirituality, is to make it accessible and digestible for people, mm-hmm. because it can seem like you're diving into this ocean of just endless information that doesn't necessarily make sense or feel applicable to your daily life. And I just want to make that as tangible as possible for people, because I know that that's what made things click for me. is when I started to be able to show up and like use intuition in my business decisions, use intuition, even parenting, astrology with parenting my own kids. Like, oh, that's been so helpful too. So
I asked you about that the other day and this, everyone, this is why I asked Hannah on, because like, she's exactly right. Like, she's always made this information accessible, demystified it in a way so that it is more easy to understand and above all fun. Like, just know that like, when you allow yourself to be curious in a fun way, there is no reason for, you know, shame or like this embarrassment. It is mostly just like, hey, I can become curious about this just as easily as I can be curious about learning how to play pickleball. You know what I mean? It's just like, I think that oftentimes that we just need permission to just like, okay, I'm going to lean into the side of me. This seems fun at first. And then the more you, I think, snowball, you learn new ways to interpret it and new ways to utilize it. Obviously, being coached by you, Hannah, like I can imagine that is like a very expansive experience and one that like you can choose to build up to, or just be like, hey, tell me more. I don't know where to start or what I should be doing, but like, I just want to, and this has always been me. I just want to vibe off you. I need to soak up this energy. I need, you know what I mean? And I just so Hannah, as we wrap up, Let's go through all the ways that people can connect with you. I want to go through really quick. We did mention that I had a reading done. I would highly, highly suggest it to anyone. It is kind of like that perfect dip your toe, not meant to be scary. It'll be a very, I don't know. I don't even know the right word. It's going to be amazing for you, but
it's a beautiful experience.
Yeah. Yes. Let's go through real quick. So Instagram, email list, website. Can you give us a rundown, Hannah, of how we can kind of connect with you and learn more about the amazing programs that you offer?
Yes, absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram at Divine Sky Mystic. I'm very active over there. Yeah. My website, which is divineskymystic.com. And on my website, you will get more in-depth information about my personal offerings, as well as your opportunity then to jump onto my email list. So anything upcoming that I'm going to be offering, I always disseminate first through my email list. So that's really the best way to stay up to date with what I'm doing. And also, if you are interested in maybe trying automatic writing or connecting with your spirit guides, I do have a free download on my website of how to do that. So be sure and check that out and give that an opportunity and let me know how that works out for you. And what else am I missing? Oh, the astro classes. If you're interested in doing that, like I said, information is coming in my email, but you can also purchase your tickets directly from my Instagram profile. So there's a link tree and you can also go to the little book button and it will take you right there. Tickets are $29. And like I said, whether you can show up live or you can't, you'll still get the replay. So even if you're there live and you're like, oh, I want to keep, you know, I want to watch it again, then you've got the download. So you get to work on that on your own time as well. And my current offerings are the sacred guidance readings that Rachel was speaking about. Those are 45-minute sessions that are recorded. They're remote, so you don't have to have any participation necessary. When you purchase your session, you just put in the input box the questions that you might have or the areas of your life where you're seeking greater guidance, support, wisdom, clarification, and then I bring that into meditation, connect with your sacred team, and channel all of their guidance into a recording that you can then listen in your own time. And I also offer astrology readings. So if you're curious to know what your birth chart holds for you, where your hidden gifts and talents are, as well as just a general understanding of your beautiful cosmic makeup, then I would love to do that for you as well. You get a PDF with all of the information written by me personally of your interpretations and aspects and planets. And then we also have a 90-minute Zoom call where we go through it together. So you have a really good understanding of what all that stuff means. And I do have one-on-one group courses that I offer sporadically. We are just finishing up with Passage, which has been like my first offering, which has all been about transit astrology. It's been really, really fun. I've had some fantastic feedback, and I'm considering launching it again at the end, towards the end of the year, maybe this fall for 2022. So again, that will all come through my email list. But
and your first astro class, I think you mentioned, is that May 20th?
May 20th, 8 p.m. Central Time. But again, if you can't, depending on where you are in the world or the United States, that doesn't work for you, you'll still get the download and you'll be able to work through it just as well as if you were joining me live.
Oh, I love it. Well, yeah. Obviously, Hannah, we covered a lot of ground today. I feel like we could have gone on and on.
Totally.
But I really just wanted to my listeners to be exposed to just this, you know, this energy. I mean, I know everyone can feel it, and just your deep passion for, you know, teaching this message and kind of like just helping people navigate it and taking the scary, taking the, you know, the oddities out of it. I love the way that you teach and the way that you spread your word. So thank you so much for being my guest today.
Oh, my pleasure.
I will link all of your information below in the show notes. Go check out Hannah at DivineSkyMystic.com. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rachel.
Was that not the most amazing conversation? I am so glad that you tuned in today and cannot wait to hear what you thought. If you like what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at HustleVSFlow to share your biggest takeaways, get inspired, and even submit requests for new episodes. By now, you're probably super motivated to make your own dreams a reality. Check out my brand, The Mind Hustle. I'm so passionate about helping you achieve big results without that big time commitment that I wrote a book and created daily guidance cards to help you manifest your best in only 5 minutes a day. Click the link in the show notes below to shop the Mind Hustle Journal and Mind Hustle Card Deck today. Until next time, I'm Rachel Thomas with the Hustle vs. Flow podcast.